Romeo and Juliet, Act One. Prologue. Two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventures, piteous overthrows, doth with their death bury their parent strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love, and the continuance of their parents' rage, which, but their children's end, naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage, the which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend. Scene 1. Gregory, on my word, will not carry coals. No, for then we should be colliers. I mean, an we be in collar, we'll draw. Aye, while you live, draw your neck out of collar. I strike quickly, being moved. But thou art not quickly moved to strike. A dog of the house of Montagu moved me. To move is to stir. To be valiant is to stand. Therefore, if thou art moved, thou runnest away. A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montagu's. That shows thee a weak slave, for the weakest goes to the wall. 'Tis true, and therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are ever thrust to the wall. Therefore I will push Montagu's men from the wall, and thrust his maids to the wall. The quarrel is between our masters, and us their men. 'Tis all one, and I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads. The heads of the maids? Aye, the heads of the maids, or their maidenheads. Take it in what sense thou wilt. They must take it in sense that feel it. Me they shall feel while I am able to stand, and 'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh. 'Tis well thou art not fish. If thou hadst, thou hadst been poor John. My naked weapon is out. Quarrel, I will back thee. How? Turn thy back and run? Fear me not. No, marry, I fear thee. Let us take the law of our sides. Let them begin. I will frown as I pass by, and let them take it as they list. Nay, as they dare, I will bite my thumb at them, which is a disgrace to them, if they bear it. Do you bite your thumb at us, sir? I do bite my thumb, sir. Do you bite your thumb at us, sir? Is the law of our side if I say A? No. No, sir, I do not bite my thumb at you, sir, but I bite my thumb, sir. Do you quarrel, sir? Quarrel, sir? No, sir. But if you do, sir, I am for you. I serve as good a man as you. No better. Well, sir. Say better. Here comes one of my master's kinsmen. Yes, better, sir. You lie. Draw, if you be men. Gregory, remember thy washing blow. Part, fools. Put up your swords. You know not what you do. What, art thou drawn among these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio, look upon thy death. I do but keep the peace. Put up thy sword, or manage it to part these men with me. What, drawn and talk of peace? I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee. Have at thee, coward. Citizens, clubs, bills, and partisans, strike! Beat them down, down with the Capulets, down with the Montagues. Capulet. What noise is this? Give me my longsword, ho. A crutch, why call you for a sword? My sword, I say, old Montague is come, and flourishes his blade in spite of me. Thou villain Capulet, hold me not, let me go. Thou shalt not stir 1 foot to seek a foe. Prince. Rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbour-stained steel, will they not hear? What ho, you men, you beasts! that quench the fire of your pernicious rage, with purple fountains issuing from your veins, on pain of torture from those bloody hands. Throw your mistempered weapons to the ground, and hear the sentence of your moved prince. 3 civil brawls, bred of an airy word, by thee, old Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets, and made Verona's ancient citizens cast by their grave beseeming ornaments to wield old partisans in hand as old, cankered with peace to start your cankered hate. If ever you disturb our streets again, your life shall pave the forfeit of the peace. For this time all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me, and Montague, come you this afternoon, to know our father pleasure in this case, to old free town, our common judgment place. Once more, on pain of death, all men depart. Who set this ancient quarrel new abroach? Speak, nephew, were you by when it began? Here were the servants of your adversary, and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them. In the instant came the fiery Tybalt, with his sword prepared, which, as he breathed defiance to my ears, he swung about his head and cut the winds, who, nothing heard withal, hissed him in scorn. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows, came more and more, and fought on part and part, till the prince came, who parted either part. Oh, where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this fray. Madam, an hour before the worshipped sun peered forth the golden window of the east, a troubled mind drove me to walk abroad, where underneath the grove of sycamore, that westward rooteth from this city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me, and stole into the covert of the wood. I, measuring his affections by my own, which then most sought where most might not be found, being one too many by my wary self, pursued my humour, not pursuing his, and gladly shunned who gladly fled from me. Many a morning hath he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sighs, but all so soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from light steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shut up his windows, looks fair daylight out, and makes himself an artificial night. Black and portentous must this humour prove, unless good counsel may the cause remove. My noble uncle, do you know the cause? I neither know it nor can learn of him. Have you importuned him by any means? Both by myself and many other friends, but he, his own affection's counsellor, is to himself, I will not say how true, but to himself so secret and so close, so far from sounding and discovery, and is the bud bit with an envious worm, ere he can spread his sweet leaves to the air, or dedicate his beauty to the same. Could he but learn from whence his sorrows grow, we would as willingly give cure as know. See where he comes, so please you step aside, I'll know his grievance or be much denied. I would thou wert so happy by thy stay, to hear true shift, come madam, let's away. Good morrow, cousin, is the day so young, but new strike 9, ay me, said hours seem long, was that my father that went hence so fast? It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours? Not having that which, having, makes them short. In love? Out of love? Out of her favour, but I am in love. Alas, that love, so gentle in his view, should be so tyrannous and rough in proof. Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine, O me? What fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. Here's much to do with hate, but more with love. Why then, O brawling love, O loving hate, O anything of nothing first created, O heavy lightness, serious vanity, mishap and chaos of well-seeming forms. Feathered of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep, that is not what it is. This love feel I, but feel no love in this. Dost thou not laugh? No, cuz, I rather weep. Good heart at what? At thy good heart's oppression. Why, such is love's transgression. Griefs of mine are lie heavy in my breast, which thou wilt propagate to habit pressed. With more of thine, this love that thou hast shown, doth add more grief to too much of mine own. Love is a smoke raised with the fume of sighs, being purged, a fire sparkling in lover's eyes, being vexed, a sea nourished with loving tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, choking gall, and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cuz. Soft, I will go along, and if you leave me so, you do me wrong. Tut, I have lost myself, I am not here, this is not Romeo, he's some other where. Tell me in sadness, who is that you love? What, shall I groan and tell thee? Groan? Why no, but sadly, tell me who. A sick man in sadness makes his will, a word ill urged to one that is so ill. In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman. I aimed so near when I supposed you loved. A right good mark, then, and she's fair I love. A right fair mark, fair cuz, is soonest hit. Well, in that hit you miss, she'll not be hit. With Cupid's arrow, she hath Dian's wit. And, in strong proof of chastity well armed, from love's weak childish bow, she lives uncharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bideth thy counter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to saints seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor, that when she dies, with beauty dies her store. Then she hath sworn that she will live, still live chaste. She hath, and not sparing makes huge waste, for beauty starved with severity, cuts beauty off from all posterity. She is too fair, too wise, wisely too fair, to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow, do I live dead that live to tell it now. Be ruled by me, forget to think of her. Oh, teach me how I should forget to think. By giving liberty unto thine eyes, examine other beauties. 'Tis the way to call hers exquisite, and question more these happy masks that kiss fair ladies' brows. Being black puts us in mind they hide the fair. He that is struck and blind cannot forget the precious treasure of his eyes I lost. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note, where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell, thou canst not teach me to forget. I'll pay that doctrine, or else die in debt.